Today's a good day. Today's a very good day. Mostly really good things. First 2 hours, smooth and easy. All right, so we start hour number three, and I suspect hour number three is going to go like the first 2 hours, smooth and easy. What's going on? I am live in Southern California. I'm in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. You have your phone number. You know where to find me on Twitter. You know where to get me via email. You can go to my Facebook page. Go to my Instagram page. Do whatever you want. There are so many different ways for you to interact directly with the program. We talked about the Masters at length. We talked about Patrick Reed. I talked about Rory. We talked about Jordan Spieth. Ricky Fowler had a real good look at it. We have not talked very much about Tiger Woods. Imagine talking about the tournament and getting into hour number three before we get to Eldrick. But let's go ahead and do that right now. Let me welcome you to the Eldrick Woods Spin Zone. Max infinity setting. Maybe it's just me, but I heard an awful lot of noise about the cat going into the Masters. An awful lot of noise about a couple of strong finishes at the Paint Company Open, about how he did at Bay Hill. An awful lot of noise about the cat rolling up Magnolia Lane to turn back the clock and rip a jacket in what everybody was ready to call the greatest comeback in the history of sports. Hey, don't shoot the messenger. But I've got the scorecard right here in front of me. 73, 75, 72, 69. Save the calculator. I've done the math for you already. 289, one over, tied for 32nd. Yeah, it's respectable, I guess. I guess that's respectable. I mean, he didn't make the cut. He did make the cut. He did not embarrass himself very much. And he finished the weekend with a solid round of 69. Respectable. It's respectable to me because that's right about where my expectations were. What's not respectable to me is the Eldrick Woods spin zone that Honk Nation is trying to throw at me right now. The same losers who were ready to fit this dude for a green blazer last week are the same losers fitting the cat for the big old participation ribbon today. And they're pretty damn happy about that. These idol worshipers went from calling their shot to acting like a proud parent in about 4 days flat. On Wednesday, it was, he's going to win it all. He's going to win it all. He's going to show the world he's back. Spit on the haters and doubters. And most of all, shut you up, Rome. Yeah, that was then. And what's it like on Monday? Monday, it's like, man, it was just so good to see him out there walking, competing, staying healthy. Yeah, that was good. That was really good. Yet not one of you bags was saying that on Wednesday. Not one of you was saying Wednesday how great it would be to see him walk the track and stay healthy and finish the tournament. But all of a sudden now, you're pawning that crap off like that was the goal all along. Being stoked on somebody walking around and not breaking in half is one step above that ceremonial first drive on Thursday morning. I mean, get bent. I don't believe for a second, that any of you honks are okay with a T32. But I do believe that you will say that you are. And I do believe that you'll spin this into some lame theory about how walking 72 at Augusta is a perfect primer for the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills. I mean, it never ends with you honks. It never, ever ends with you honks. But you know who's actually spitting some truth? Who's not afraid to say how it is? Tell it like it is? Taunts bagman, Joey LaCava. Quote, he was here for one reason. It wasn't like it feels great to be back at Augusta National. I heard more, I sucks, than I heard, it's great to be back. Of course, I'm sure he heard a lot more, Tiger, I suck. I mean, that's the cat's Tiger. Caddy saying it straight up. Eldrick went there to win, and he didn't, and he was pissed. His own caddy, quote, he was certainly trending in the right direction, so to finish 35th or whatever he finished, it sucks. Disappointing for sure, end quote. So more of that and less of you honks. Because there's the spin zone, and then there's reality, and his own caddy, and I myself are laying it out. This week was disappointing by the Cat standards. He didn't go there to walk 72. He didn't go there to finish in a tie for 32nd. He went there thinking he could win, and he wasn't even close. He looked old. He looked mortal. Now he says he needs a break. So do what you do best, Tiger freaks. Fall into line with your guy and start owning that this week was nowhere near what you thought it would be. Admitting it is the first step. At least Hefty was looking up at him.
Hefty.
The guy's not back. All right, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Tiger is not back. That Tiger is not coming back. And this Tiger's best will never beat the best of the guys who are doing it the best right now. Does that make sense? Back in the day, his B game, his C game might have been good enough to beat these guys. Now his A is not going to beat their A. His A now is not going to beat their B. Own it. Own it. Be real with it. I'm looking at you, Hawk. And the reason I'm looking at you, before you put on your headphones, there's this thing, right? You've got me here. You've got them on the other side of the glass. I can always read their vibe. And they've kind of schooled themselves up like, hey, man, if something happens, let's not wear it on our sleeve because he'll see it. And then he'll react to it, and then he'll react on the air, which again goes to show why I am here and you are there, because even when I read that, I don't react to it on the air. I'll take care of it off the air. However, I read your vibe. I know what's up. Hawk looks like somebody ran his cat over. There's something going on over there. Now, because Hawk is about the right things, if he's wearing something like that, that means something bad happened that I don't know about yet. And that's possible. Things happen regarding the show. There are developments regarding the show that, of course, I wouldn't know about. I'm hosting the show. So if a call comes in, or an email comes in, or a tweet comes in, or something comes in that I need to know about, put it this way, if the entire XR4 Ti turns a totally different shade of white, I know what's going on. Like, if the blood drains out of their head, I know something happened. So I'm looking at Hawk, and Hawk's not right. I know Hawk's not right. And not the kind of not right that comes along with getting a tat of your cat. There's something going on. And Hawk, hey, we got to be real, right? The clones deserve this. I'm just going to ask you straight up on the air. Put them on. Adam Hawks, REP, if you're new to the program or if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, bro, clearly something is not right. What's happening right now? I can tell by looking at you, something very bad happened.
First off, appreciate you picking up on the body language. Means a lot that you would, care about me that way, Jim.
I care about you. I said, I know something's wrong, and I could tell you're not moping around like that because your hero finished T32. Something else happened.
Yeah, I over the weekend on Saturday, I threw my back out, which is a sentence at the age of 30 I never thought I would utter. I didn't even know it was physically possible, but I threw my back out.
You're 30?
I'm 30, yeah.
And you look 40, bro.
Thank you. Well, right. So, the gray hair, the back being thrown, all this stuff. The porn stash, all of it. But yeah,
The button to the top.
There you go.
Okay.
So I threw my back on.
The bad ink.
Right. All the mistakes in life. I threw
the
my
fact
back.
You know nothing about sports.
Oh, that as well, yeah.
All right, so you threw your back out.
Yeah, have you ever done it?
You know, every once in a while, I've had a back spasm or two where it'll kind of lock up on me a little bit.
It is the worst.
But even when it did, I don't walk around the way you are right now. What happened to you?
I can't walk. So Saturday,
you're 30. And you have any idea how much worse this is going to get? You're 30, man. You're young.
And I physically cannot walk right now. It's killing me just sitting here. So Saturday morning.
Can't wait to hear how this happened.
Saturday, against my wife's advisement, I went to the driving range because every Saturday I like to wake up before her and the baby and go to the driving range, get some work in, roll some putts, hit some shots, just practice. It's free decompression. It's great. And I do it at like 6:30 in the morning.
Iron your red shirt.
Yes.
Get ready for the weekend.
It was Masters weekend. I was feeling it. So, you do this at 6:30 in the morning, you get home before the family wakes up. I get to the driving range. I pop the trunk. I go to put on my golf shoes. And I put my left one on, and then I go to wedge into the right one without, untying the shoes, doing it the lazy man's way.
Bro, I got a feeling that you retched your back, and it was not playing golf.
No. I absolutely through my spine getting into my right golf cleat. And what happened was...
Oh, my gosh, dude. You are an idiot.
Yeah. The trunk opened. I threw my back getting into the shoe. I fell over into the trunk, completely locked up. On a Saturday morning at a golf course, as 50 different hacks are walking by to get to their tee time, and I'm keeled over inside of a trunk just screaming.
Did anybody push you in and slam the trunk shut?
No, but it was awful.
Dude, you got hurt getting dressed.
I got hurt putting a shoe on, and now I'm keeled over using a golf bag as a pillow in my trunk, and I'm just like, if I can get enough energy, if I can get to my car and drive home, I'll be okay. So after 20 minutes of being
keeled
over. This was Saturday morning.
And you're still jacked up Monday morning.
It's 6:45 Saturday morning. I'm still jacked up right now. So I finally get to the car.
Trying to put a shoe on.
Not even hitting
drives.
No.
Like, you didn't even make it to the range.
I didn't even get close. I got to the parking lot, and I got to my trunk, and then I drove home at 5 miles an hour, couldn't move, locked up, literally crawled on my hands and knees to the front door, opened the doorknob.
You know what would have been better is if you couldn't have driven home, that if you literally had to call the wife from all fours, like, come and get me.
And wake her and the baby up, which is right. Why I was like, I have to get home. So I got home.
What a courageous guy you are. Like, like Caron Butler, I'm walking off that floor. My kneecap slid all the way to my ankle, but they're not carrying me off. I'm walking off this floor. Like you, Hawk.
I feel
you
like a hero.
I drove home,
crawled from the car to the front door. I laid out on the tile and just died. And they didn't wake up for 2 more hours. So I'm on the tile, dead by myself for 2 hours. She comes down. Her weekend is instantly wrecked because I can't do anything and we have a baby at the house.
Dude, you're a selfish son of a SOB. I mean, you're terrible, Hawk.
Here's the best part, Jim. As much as it hurt.
Oh, God, I can't wait if it gets better.
As much as it hurt, and it still hurts, the Masters was on. So I had 48 uninterrupted, unapologetic hours of being on the couch, propped up with ice, a stiff IPA, watching the Masters.
Dude, you act
and
like
no
you,
one could say anything.
This is incredible. You think this is a good thing. You act like, oh, man, I set this up beautifully. It's a good thing. Dude, you have any idea how much respect your wife and child lost for you? They will never see you the same way, Hawk. As a provider, as a leader, as a husband, you're like, hey, man, that was awesome. I killed it. I sat on my ass all weekend long with a couple of IPAs watching the Masters because, well, what could I do? The way they see this, Adam, you're not bright. The way they see this is you did something incredibly stupid, so you did not fulfill your obligations as a husband and father because you were hurt trying to put a shoe on. That's good to you? That's positive?
I'm a silver lining guy. And the
you're a dumb guy.
I mean, that was 10 hours of great golf coverage Saturday and Sunday that I literally was physically unable
coverage?
To move
what did for. What did your wife think of that whole thing?
She was very disappointed because the night before she said, please don't go to the range. You've been going every Saturday. It would be nice if once you woke up with us and we had breakfast together. So literally the night before, she asked that I do not go.
You said no to your wife, who said, please do not go. I would like for all of us to wake up on Saturday morning together to have breakfast, which, by the way, in your defense, the way we work, when you leave, I know they're never awake. Nobody on this show, unless I'm mistaken, has any family that's awake when we leave. So what she's saying is, it's Saturday, honey. I've waited all week long. Can you just not go to the driving range, whatever goat track you go to, Hawk? And so can we just wake up and have breakfast together? It'd be awesome. And you said no?
I didn't say no. I just didn't say anything. I think I said we'll see or something like that. And I got what was
Dude,
coming to me.
She's smarter than you. She knew what that meant. Were you going to get back in time for breakfast? Let me ask you that.
Yeah, I was going to actually pick some stuff up and bring it home.
How big of you?
Yeah, but I couldn't make the stop on the way home because I could barely get home. And I spent the last two nights sleeping on the tile. So there is a downside to this. I have been sleeping on tile for the last two nights.
As far as I can tell, there's no upside to this. Of course, there's a downside. There's no upside. And here we are on Monday.
Here we are.
Hey, you're not better, right? You're not better and probably won't be anytime soon.
It's getting worse because of the sitting down in the chair. Uh-huh. The thing about being at home was I had everything propped up and I was sleeping
on
the tile.
So, Hawk, lie your ass down on the tile right there and do your job.
I can't screen the calls from the ground. So I'm gonna
drop the phone down to the ground. Just do what you got to do. We'll reset the cameras so they can shoot you on the ground.
Okay, if you say so, I'll do it.
No, bro, I don't mean that at all, man. I would tell you to go home, but I know you're just going to sit on the couch and do nothing and drink IPAs. Wow, bro. That's the beauty of you, Hawk. I'll give you this. Right when I think that you can't do or say anything more embarrassing than what you've done in the past, you outdo yourself again. The bar has no... That's incredible.
There's no ceiling for my stupidity. And I always think...
Well
like,
said, Hawk.
This is
well
the
said.
Last dumb thing that's going to happen to me. I'm telling you, when I stepped into that shoe...
That's not true.
And my back went, I couldn't believe it. I was like, why does this stuff keep happening to me?
What's going to happen the next time you go to groom that ridiculous porn stash?
I'm probably going to slip and fall and crack my neck on the kitchen sink. Yeah.
Wow, bro. That is a truly amazing story. I knew there was something wrong, but if you were to say to me, hey, guess. Before I tell you what's wrong, guess, I'd say, all right, it was probably something to do with this caller in this market or this affiliate. And no, it was none of the above. You got hurt trying to put a shoe on. Great story.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, thanks for sharing it, though.
My pleasure.
Let's try not let that happen again anytime soon.
I won't. I'm going to go do yoga and stretches and everything.
Dude, do whatever the hell you have to do. Don't you dare call in sick, though.
I will.
Don't be pulling any of that. Do not go to HR and say, hey, sorry about that, boss. HR said it's okay. All right? Don't be doing that.
I'll be here.
Don't be doing anything. Hawk. Oh, my God. All right. Well credit to me. I knew something was wrong, Pigeon. I knew something was wrong. I just didn't know it was that. All right. So Adam Hawk, living up to the legend of the Pigeon, throws out his back, putting on a shoe.
There's no ceiling for my stupidity.
No, there is not. That was live right there. Oh, and what do you know? There's reaction. I can't believe it. All right, let me get out. When we return, lots more to get to. And a lot of it's not golf-related and open phones right now. So when you're on the field.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Quick message, Stabil 360 Performance Fuel Treatment and Stabilizer is engineered to protect your engine from the harmful effects of ethanol blended fuels. You want to use it with every fill up for maximum protection. Visit Stabil.com for more information. Stabil, Stabil. Dear Rome, of course, we aren't happy with that performance. However, he did almost get a hole-in-one on Sunday. Regards, denial. Tyler in Edmonton, president of Tiger Honk Incorporated. This email reads, come on, Jim. Tiger's exit velocity was right where it needs to be. Signed, baseball manager. Drew in West L.A. Good, Drew. Good job, Drew. Good effort. Good job. Dear Jim, after 3 days of the Masters, the pressure on Sunday was simply too much for me, forcing me to constantly lay up, continually hit the water, and finish alongside the big cat. Brokenly yours, Hawk Spine, after Hawk tried to tie his shoes. Unwore weak hamstrings and hipster vertebrae. Signed, Denlesks, yoga master and slip-on shoe wearer. Wore Hawk nicking his carotid while buttoning the top button of his polyester blouse. That's pretty harsh. Rome, I'm 29. I blew my back out trying to pick up two 90-pound dumbbells, and I felt like my life ended. To hear that Hawk blew out his back putting on his golf shoes makes me feel better. Thanks, Hawk. War Hawk. Damasio in Albuquerque. Dude, that guy did it lifting. 90-pound dumbbells, dude. 90-pound dumbbells. If that's true. And then this. Dear Hawk. What a Grandpa Joe moment, you lazy sack of waste. I bet if Tiger would have called you to take a practice round, you would have jumped right off the couch and started cleaning off your irons. Signed, cuz I hit from the golden tees.
Grandpa.
In the cuz I got the golden ticket beat.
Cuz I got a golden ticket.
Cuz I hit from the golden tees. You know, the amazing thing about Hawk is if I didn't have a good show and I didn't have takes for days and really good interviews and I were to sit around and say, hey, Hawk, why don't we just conjure up something you got yourself into and we'll make that content? I could do it, but I don't have to. That's the amazing thing. I don't have to because he just keeps doing these things. We're not making any of this up. It's all real. These things really happen to Hawk in life. All right, so I'm looking at a guy on hold, if this is true. And if it's not true, he's working pretty hard. So back on March 16th, a story came out that Vegas had the cat going off as the betting favorite. And I made the point that there's a difference between the actual favorite and the betting favorite. They're not one and the same. The actual favorite is not always the betting favorite. And at the end of that take, I told you, if you want to, find some real value in that field. Don't bet with your heart. You know, bet with your head. Don't bet your favorite guy. Look for value. It's business. It's business. Be smart. There's a guy going off at 50-1 who you should take. Remember, this was my actual take on March 16th of this show. Remember, I would never tell you how to spend your money because I don't want you telling me how to spend my money. But if you didn't get your Masters bet slip back in when he was 101 a couple of months back, then you better save your cash and look for a better value. You know, maybe like Patrick Reed at 50-1. I know how much you honks love that this guy dresses like your hero on Sundays.
Gambaholics. So
you gamble. All right. Can I tell you something? I wish I had taken my own advice. I did not take my own advice. I saw that, though. Patrick Reed at 50-1? I said, if you want value, why don't you get some of that? And I didn't do that. So I feel pretty crappy about it. However, this guy says he did. And this is just kind of coming out of nowhere. Hey, I'll be really honest with you. Watching that, I actually forgot that I told you that. I was so caught up in that whole thing. And the reason is, I don't always get down on golf. And by not always getting down on golf, I never get down on golf. That's not my play. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say to you that I don't get down, because I do. Hell, we own race horses. I'm just saying, when the story broke that the cat, out of nowhere, was the betting favorite, I did that take and I said, I'm not betting that. But if I were betting and I was looking for value, this is where I'd go with it. This guy says he did. Let's go to Bakersfield. Brian in Baco. Brian, is that true? Did you get some of that? Did you get down and did you get paid? Give me your story.
I did, Jim. Thank you very much. Thank you for the vine.
You got it. So how did that go?
Went well. Kind of a nervous couple days, but it went well. I had listened to your show, was out golfing with my buddies that Saturday, and said, hey, I think we ought to do this. So I got a couple hundred on it, and one of my other buddies got 50 on it. At that time, it was at 60-1.
Hmm.
So we got in at 60-1. Subsequently, same site we used, it went down to 40-1. Think before the start. So yeah, we got good value thanks to you,
man. I love hearing that story, Brian. So did you get paid yet?
Well, we haven't quite got paid yet. Obviously, it is kind of a local guy, but he's paid on everything else he's paid us on, so we'll see what happens here in another week or so.
Yeah, but you never jammed that guy on a 60-1 bet though, right?
So you feel... I don't think he expected that, but he was willing to take it, so let's hope he's willing to pay it.
Let me ask you this. I hate being this guy, but can you give us an idea? How much is that going to pay out?
I had 200 on it. My guy had 50 on it, so it pays out $15,000.
Woo! And how do I get my 10%?
Oh, well, you send me, I guess I can find your address. Maybe I'll send you a lunch card or something. You never know.
Yeah, but just for the record, you don't have to give me anything. I'm being funny about that. But did you literally go and do that based on what you heard from me on this show? Was it my advice to push you?
Of course. I watched a little bit of casual golf. Reed had been doing good for a couple of weeks, and can't really use the same words you use sometimes. He's a bit of a, I don't know, a little different guy, a little out there for me, so I kind of like him in the first place. And when you said that, I thought, what the heck? Seems like about one or two of the majors a year I put $100 or so down on, and this will be the first big win, obviously.
My man, Baco. Nice job, Brian. I hope you collect. That's the whole thing. One thing to get down and win, another to collect. You still got to collect. So hopefully that goes your way too.
Thank you very much, and go Pool Guy Nation.
You got it, Pool Guy Nation. Brian in Bakersfield. How about that, huh? All right, so I played that soundbite for you. I said if you're looking for value, if you're looking for value, you can get Patrick Reed at 50 to 1. Patrick Reed at 50 to 1. This guy said we got him at 60 to 1 with a local guy. And they haven't collected yet, but they've done business with their local guy. And he's always come through in the past. Man, I don't know how big that local guy is. I don't know what kind of business he's running. That local guy could not have been happy to see that go down. That local guy probably had to be looking at Rory, looking at that five-footer for Eagle, going, come on, Rory Mack. Dude, 15 grand. My man, Brian, Pool Guy Nation. Take a few days off. Well, collect first. Man, I'd love to be there. At least get me out to Baco on the 19th hole, right? Love Bakersfield. Love Central Cali. And most of all, I love that story. He took a take that I had, and he went to the bank with it, and he's about to get paid. Hasn't yet. When we return, more of the same. Open phones. I want to talk about Ohtani and the buzz here in SoCal. Never mind all around Major League Baseball, but the buzz here in SoCal. This guy is absolutely amazing so far. Living up to the hype. My thoughts on that next. And plenty of time for your phone calls, too. And I just got somebody paid. I'm feeling good about me. I told you it was a good day. Today's essentially a good day for everybody not named Hawk. Stay with it. Time now for sports up. Welcome back. Just checking out a few things here. Got the ATP, first of all. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The Ask the Pros. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Okay, Blake in Anaheim Hills has got a question. Rome, you said you went to the Angels game on Saturday. That's awesome, but us fat clones need to know what stadium food did you grub on during the game? War Chronic Tacos. All right, so Logan and I, my younger son, went to the game. Logan is a huge Chronic Taco guy. He loves it. Loves it. Which is kind of a funny story, which I could tell you about how we ended up at that game. Hey, look, I'm no different than the rest of you. I was pretty fired up for the ballpark food. So got the workout in early and tried to stay down and save myself for the ballpark food. Got to the ballpark, went hot dog, went nuts, went IPA. Feeling pretty good about that. So in terms of the game itself, it went down like this. Janet and Jake, it was spring break last week for a lot of you, I'm sure, too. So the kids have the entire week off, and Janet wants to go on college trips with Jake. The two of them, sadly, because I work, I have not been able to do this. So the two of them have had that time. They've checked out schools in California. They went to see Stanford. They went to UC Berkeley. They went to Santa Clara. Jake liked what he saw. Jake loved Stanford. Then they went to Notre Dame, and that quickly jumped to the top of his list. He loved Notre Dame. Loved Notre Dame. However, they went to the University of Missouri this weekend to the journalism school, and they went to George Washington University in D.C. So the story is, and I'm not bragging or anything on anybody, but Janet says to me, you and Logan have Saturday night together. Man, make it count. Make it count. I'm like, you know it. We're going to Javier's. Or we're going to get a nice steak dinner. And the old man's going to get a cocktail, and Logan will get whatever he wants. And Janet looked at me like this disapproving look like, are you kidding? Really? Why don't you two go to an Angel game? I said I could, and I will. But I guarantee the kid's going to want to have a steak with his old man and just kind of hang out. And Jan's like, you do that all the time. I'm like, babe, we never do that. We do that as a family all the time. But me and the kid, you know, man to man, he's going to want to have a steak and grab whatever olive I have in my martini. He's going to like that. And Janet says, you know what? Don't do that. You can do that anytime you want. Go to the game. I said, you're right. You're right. I'll go to the game. So then before we go to the game, midweek, I think I told you a story. I asked, where would you rather go? And he says, oh, I'd rather go have dinner, Dad. Let's go have a steak. So we don't. We go to the game, which was a better call. So I slammed a dog, and I went IPA, saw the game, beautiful new video monitors in the ballpark, lots of energy for Otani. He didn't make an appearance in that game, but there was just a buzz. The buzz in anticipation of him making his start the next day, and then he went perfecto for six innings. But in terms of ballpark food, I went dog, nuts, IPA, win, win, win. It was all good. In terms of Otani, listen, if Woods and Mickelson proved over the weekend that nothing ever lives up to the hype, nothing aside from Shohei Otani, who's not just living up to the hype, he is smashing it into the dust. How about a quick recap? Last Sunday, he made his Major League debut as a starting pitcher, six strong innings, struck out six, retired 14 of the last 15 guys he faced. Tuesday, hits a three-runner in his first at-bat in Angel Stadium. Wednesday, he goes deep on the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner, Corey Kluber. The next night, Friday, in the team's next game, he goes 450 feet the other way. Homers in three straight games. And that home run on Friday was something else. Ask A's Marcus Semien. Quote, it was loud. The guys on their team talk about how far he hits the ball in BP. His raw power, he showed it off right there. End quote. So that in and of itself would make a legendary week. That's a great week if it ends right there, but it didn't because he did take the mound again yesterday, and all he did was take a perfect game into the seventh, his second major league start, and we're already on perfect game watch. It's incredible. And so is the fact that he went seven innings, he allowed one hit, one walk, he struck out 12. Or that he recorded 25 swing and misses, which is the highest for a starter in all of Major League Baseball this year. Or the 12 strikeouts ties the American League record for most Ks in one of your first two career starts. I mean, I could spend the entire segment running down the numbers and the stats that would tell you how incredible this guy's been. But I don't need to. Let me just say this. His fastball is nasty. He runs it up there near 100. His splitter is essentially unhittable. Now, check that. It is literally unhittable. It is unhittable, at least as far as the Oakland A's are concerned. They were 0-for-19 against it. And yes, I know some of you listening or watching want to downgrade those stats because they both came against the A's. But isn't that the point? They both came against the A's. They had already seen him once. So they had the scouting report. They knew what to expect. He took a perfect game into the seventh against somebody he had just thrown against. If anybody would have a scouting report on Otani, it's Oakland, and he still dominated them. He set down the last eight Oakland batters that he faced in his debut. He then went through 19 straight yesterday, 27 in a row in his first two starts while hitting three home runs in between those two games. So right now that baseball card would read, batting average, 389. Home runs, 3. RBI, 7. ERA, 2.08. I mean, it almost doesn't compute. It really doesn't. A rookie should not be hitting like that, and a rookie should not be pitching like that, let alone a rookie hitting and pitching like that, and making it look so normal, so easy, so natural. As Angels catcher Martin Maldonado said, he never looks like he's out of place. He looks like a hitter when he's batting, and he looks like a pitcher when he's pitching. It's impressive. We have never seen that before. End quote. Yeah, we've never seen that before, and we may never see it again. So enjoy it while you can and while it lasts, because this guy has arrived, and he's already appointment television. So I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I'm not sure how long this does last, but if you love baseball, you got to be loving every second of this. And even if you don't love baseball, you got to like this. You got to like this. It is amazing. All right, let's go to the phones. This guy knows baseball. This guy likes baseball. Let's go to the LBC. Irae Craig. Yo, Irae, what's up?
What's happening, Romy? How you doing, buddy?
Good, Ira. How about you?
I am doing over fine as usual. I just got to say Otani's playing for the wrong team, brother. So let's leave it at that. I told Adam that if he needs, I got some high-grade pharmaceuticals that will help alleviate his pain.
No way.
But I think.
Go ahead, Ira. Ira. Now he's gone. No, I mean, I didn't hang up on him. He just said, I told Adam I have some high-grade pharmaceuticals to alleviate his pain. So I obviously said, no way, Ira, you do? And then he just disappeared. I don't know. Maybe his pharmacist wanted to have a word with him. Back to the emails quickly. Van Smack, I love how the sports pundits are calling this kid special. He isn't. He's a straight-up freak of nature. Can pitch 100 miles per hour, slap you out of the park 450, and is breaking records in a game that have been around for about 150 years every time he plays. WTF. I'm sure they'll figure him out since he only throws strikes, but I'm not sure how they're going to figure out his bat speed. Until they do, I'm going to grab a beer, a bag of peanuts, and count myself lucky that I get to witness what other fans saw about 100 years ago when they saw Ruth play. Signed, Chris, at my 2 cents worth. Exactly. That's kind of what I'm trying to say here. This guy set down 14 of the last 15 in his first start, went back to back to back, including a home run off the defending American League Cy Young Award winner, went oppo about 450, and then picked up the ball again and flirted with a perfect game and did all this in about a week's time. It's insane. And he doesn't really know the language or Major League Baseball, the players, the pitchers, the ballparks, the culture. He just shows up like that and does that. Unwar having to lock up your valuables in the golf locker room and count strokes of your playing partner, allegedly. I know who you're talking about. Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com. My thanks to Alan Shipnook, Ice Cube, Marcus Allen. Good day by the XR4TI, except you, Hawk. Try not to get hurt, Hawk. Going to your car today. Clones, nice job. Thank you for listening. Have an amazing day. Be right back here tomorrow. We'll run it back. See you then.